morning, everyone. Alan Ellis here with
me,
Robin. She's sitting here. She's doing a little crochet this morning while she's on the air, but she's paying attention. She claims to be quite a multitasker, so so we'll see how that works out. Can you hear Robin okay there, Chris?
She's got to say something.
Yeah, her mic's way down.
Yeah, I was about to say, did not hear that.
Is that better?
There we go.
That's much better. Thank you so much.
I said I crochet almost every time I'm on the air with you.
I know you do. I know you do. So that's cool. So, Robin, what's new?
Nothing.
Nothing? You're sure? Okay. We'll let you think about that.
No, so, wait a minute. What's new?
How about that question? Caught you off. So I didn't mean to catch you off guard.
Which part?
Anything. Just share something. Tell us about.
Do you really want me to share?
No, I don't want you to share everything. Thank you. So anyway, all right, we'll move on.
I'm not sure what he was talking about, Chris. I have a few things that are new, but I didn't think.
I just thought I'd surprise her a little bit. So I got to hunt one day this week, right? And didn't see anything, but that's okay. It happens sometimes. You know, you just don't see anything. Now, it's not quite true I didn't see anything. I saw a lot of birds. I mean, juncos and wrens and sparrows, you know, wood sparrows and all kinds of stuff came flying in, and they were searching for something on the ground. They weren't eating anything off the trees. They were on the ground pecking and searching, and I mean, when they came in, they fly in silently, but then when they get on the ground, it sounds like a whole herd of turtles in there. I mean, it was just, it sounded like deer coming. There were so many.
What do turtles sound like as a herd? Turtles are quiet.
How do you know?
Never heard a turtle.
Oh, well, I could tell my turtle to jerk again. No?
I don't remember it, so I don't want
to. Oh, that's good. Chris, you remember the turtle joke? He must be screening a call. Well, anyway, maybe later. No, I mean, but these birds came in. There must have been, I don't know, a couple dozen of them. And they get in there and they, you know, root in the leaves. And, you know, like somebody said, a, you know, half-pound squirrel can sound like, you know, a whole herd of deer. But, you know, 180-pound deer can walk through dry leaves quietly and you'll never see it coming. I've seen that. I wonder how they get in there. I wonder how they move through the woods so silently and how they sneak up on people or sneak up on anything. You know, I've been snuck up on a number of times. Turn around, there's a deer standing there looking at you. And it's happened to all deer hunters if you spend any time in the woods or in a tree stand or anything like that. But anyway, so, but the birds made a lot more noise than the deer, which there were no deer. So that makes sense, right?
Yep.
Am I talking in circles this morning? I feel like I am.
Yeah, kind of. Did you give any care package to Chrissy when she left yesterday?
Did I give a care package? No, I did not. But I will.
Our freezer is so full right now.
Yeah, we've got... I meant to print that out, the heart girth chart.
Yeah, you've got Sika and Whitetail in there.
I do. We have a bag of Sika and two bags of Whitetail, and it's packed full. And
Time to buy another freezer.
No, it's time to clean the extra stuff out of this one.
No, you leave my stuff alone.
Like I said, I bought this freezer to store fish and game.
No, you didn't.
What'd you say, Robin?
I beg to differ.
You beg to differ? You have your freezer in the under the.
Nope. Mm-mm, we're not going there.
Under the refrigerator. What do you mean we're not going there?
I can tell you, I did not contribute to this freezer just for fish and game.
Well, there's a lot of that in there, so.
You got a caller on
the phone. I know. We're just floating here this morning for some reason. We are having a muzzleloader contest, though, and the way that works is you simply call in, and Chris will answer the phone, and he will take your phone number, and then you go on the air with me, and all you have to say is, I just want to get in the muzzleloader contest. That's all you got to say. If you want to, or you can say, hey, good morning. And, you know, it's just part of the rules. You got to go on the air. So, Chris, I know we have a caller on the line. I'm not trying to hold that up, but how was your week?
Uneventful.
Okay. Moving right along.
Just work, sleep.
Just another week.
We're really leaving him dangling in the air.
Work,
here.
Sleep, repeat. Yeah, I'm trying to hand the reins off here to either one of you guys, and I'm getting nothing. So.
Well, maybe next week.
Uh-huh.
I'm hoping that I will be able to get out and I can contribute a little bit more next week.
Good, good. Hey, you know, our buddy Chuck, he took a nice big doe the other day, so.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yep, you saw the picture.
Yes.
All right, let's see. Let's talk to Jacob and Walt in the same car. Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Morning. Good
morning. Good.
Good. Where are you headed this morning?
Up to Norrisville.
Gotcha. Deer hunting.
Yes, sir.
Final day.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you had a successful season?
This is Walt. I got a doe the other night. It seems like they're not moving in the mornings much. It's all afternoons and late.
Right. Like late as in last 15 minutes of legal shooting time.
Exactly. And then sitting there holding the flashlight in your teeth while you're trying to
Hey,
deer.
Hey! Since you brought that up, I bought a little light this week. Okay, it's got a clip on it. The light is maybe 3 inches long, including the charger, and the charger is cool because it's a magnet. Okay, so you plug the cord called USB cord.
Yes.
The USB fitting goes in your truck or goes in your computer or wherever you charge your stuff. You know, even in the plug with the USB connection on it. But the bottom of this flashlight is a magnet, and the charger is a magnet. So it's really convenient. But it's got a clip on it, and it's got a swivel head. So you can – and it's 1,000 lumens at high power.
Wow.
I mean, yeah. So you clip this thing on your shirt while you're – or your hat while you're field dressing your deer, and your hands are free, and you don't have to hold anything. And it's got plenty of light for trailing or for field dressing. That's why I bought it.
Who's it made by? Do you recall?
Nebo. And you buy them at Battery Warehouse. It's a Nebo light, N-E-B-O.
Okay, that sounds great.
It's called the Swivel, S-W-Y-V-E-L.
Okay, we'll have to check that out.
Yeah, man.
A question I had for you is, a couple weeks ago you had talked about that Anne Arundel County and the county executive doing that bounty on deer.
Yep.
Whatever came of that, I mean, are they still doing it? You don't hear much about it anymore.
No. Nope.
And I don't like that. I don't like the idea of guys going out and busting deer just to get $50.
Well, it's worse than that. It's beyond that. Guys are poaching deer in Anne Arundel County. They're poaching deer in other counties. They're shooting deer in other counties, and they're bringing them into Anne Arundel just for the bounty. Yep, they are, and thank God it runs out the end of December. But my question is, you know, there have been people all over this fighting this thing with, you know, fighting with DNR and fighting in the General Assembly and the Legislative Sportsman's Caucus here in Maryland has been all over it, the Hunters of Maryland, and Pittman just keeps refusing to end the program. So the question is, this is federal money. Can't somebody talk to somebody in the federal government and say, hey, your COVID money's being used for this deer bounty? I don't understand why others haven't gotten involved, like the Congressional Sportsman's Foundation and others.
Yeah, it bothered me from the time you start talking about it, and I read a little bit. I live in Anne Arundel County.
Right.
And, you know, there's no way, you know, the deer are precious to me, and I eat what I take, but I don't want to just slaughter deer just for a bounty.
And you give up the deer.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and it's not ethical, it's not moral, it's not conservation minded at all. It's just, and I can tell you, property owners are having their properties jacklighted at night. Who knows what kind of rifle these people are firing, you know, across fields shooting a deer and what's behind them. You can't see what your backstop is at night. First of all, jacklighting is illegal. You know, shooting a deer at night is illegal, and to do it for this purpose is even worse than just doing it for, you know, take a deer and eat it yourself. It's just horrible. It's a horrible, horrible program, and Pittman ought to be ashamed of himself, but he's not. He has no shame.
Well,
so
he's in that whole Democratic, I don't want to get into politics, but this whole thing, I know best for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. You got it. So,
all right.
Well, so Jacob, you haven't said anything. Have you had it? Have you? Huh?
I said we're looking forward to winning that muzzleloader.
Well, I hope you do, Jacob. Are you? Have you had a successful season?
Not quite yet. No, this is the third Saturday I've been out. Seen a little action, like just like Walt was saying towards the end of the day, but. We're hoping for a little bit of a change today.
Well, good. Let's hope so. Good luck, guys.
Thanks. Have a good day.
You do the same. Thanks for calling.
We say good morning.
I'm right here. Thank you very much. You all have a great day. Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's talk to Bill. Good morning, Bill.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Allen. Good morning, Ms. Robin.
Good morning.
Isn't she pleasant in the morning?
Yes. I love listening to you on the radio every Saturday.
Yeah.
Fun.
That's what we hope it is. We hope it's fun.
Yeah, it is. And then, of course, I like that outdoors, you know.
Yeah.
But you didn't see no deer when you went, huh?
No. But, I mean, the week before was one of my best days ever in the field. So, you know, I can't complain.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
You know where to go with deer? You know where the Key Bridge is at?
Yep.
And you're on a 695. You headed south. Soon come off the bridge, headed south, Illinois County to the right.
Yep.
Well, that place is loaded with deer in here.
Yep. You're right. But it's inaccessible.
Yeah, you can't hunt there.
Right. So anywhere you can't hunt, the deer find that as a refuge, you know, and they're gonna be there without being molested by anybody or anything.
Yeah. And you gotta watch too sometimes at night, maybe on a damn road.
Right. I hear you. So
that's there. Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to go up and get me a coffee, and Merry Christmas to you and your wife.
Well, thank you, Bill. Appreciate
that. Thank you so much. You have a wonderful day.
All right, now. Bye now.
All right. Bye-bye. Let's talk to Robert. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm just calling up to enter the muzzleloader contest.
Okay. You're in.
Awesome.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Yeah. Thank you, too.
Yep. Let's talk to Paul. Good morning, Paul.
Hey. Good morning, Robin. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning.
Now she gets
just
greeted first.
I'm calling just to enter the contest, too, Alan.
Okay,
buddy. I want to wish you and Robin and Chris all, I won't speak to you, you know, now until Christmas, and hopefully you all have a wonderful holiday.
All right. Well, Christmas is up Friday. We'll be on the next day, the day after Christmas. So.
No, I'll probably be listening.
All right. That sounds good. Thanks,
yeah,
Paul.
Yeah, it's a great show, like you say, other than that Bittman thing. The wonderful thing about your show is it's not political, you know, typically.
Not as much as it used to be. You're right about that.
Well, it's just, you know, it's just, I don't want to say guy talk because, you know, women come too.
Oh, we love our women listeners. We really do.
It's just outdoors, hunting, fishing, good stuff.
Yep.
All right. Have a great morning.
All right, buddy. Thank you so much.
You too. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. So I'm looking at the holiday savings from Browning now through December 31st. There's a whole rebate process on some of these firearms that we've been talking about for a long time at Clyde's, like the Satori, the over-and-under sporting clay shotgun. Well, there's a $100 rebate on that. See your Browning dealer. Let's see. Offer valid consumer purchase in stock firearms purchase between. So I didn't read the fine print, but it's $100 on the Satori. You can save $75 on the A5 and the Maxis shotguns, the ones I talk about all the time, the waterfowl shotguns. $50 on center fire rifles. You know, the A bolts, all the X bolts. The BAR, you can save $50 on that, the Synergy and the Silver shotguns. And then on the BPS shotguns, the Rimfire firearms and handguns, you can save $25. So $25, $50, $75, and $100, depending on the model that you buy at your Browning firearms dealer. And that is, of course, your full-line Browning dealer, Clyde Sports Shop, at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Who doesn't want to save some money? Right? So if you're looking at a new Browning firearm, a handgun, a rifle, a shotgun, you can save some money now through December 31st. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne for Clyde Sports Shop. That phone number there is 410-242-6108. 410-242-6108 for Clyde's Sports Shop, open 7 days a week. So, Robin, I need your help on this one.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I talked to Bill the other day at Backyard Billy's in Hearth America, and he said, you know, Christmas is coming. And he said, look, people want to get things that we don't often mention. You know, we mention the grills. We mention the fireplace inserts and the fire logs and that kind of stuff. I mean, those are all great gifts for you and I. If you want to, if we want to buy something for ourselves, buy something for the house, right?
Yep.
But what about other folks? So, you know, somebody that enjoys being out in their backyard, why not a nice fire ring? There's all kinds of outdoor fireplaces that are available. You know, you for a wood fire in your backyard. Wouldn't that be a nice gift for somebody?
I think so. I told you that when you had to turn that fireplace off for Santa Claus to get down on Christmas, they could go outside and make a nice toasty fire for a while.
That's right. Yeah, you turn the fire, you pull the logs out of the, yeah.
And did you know that Santa's tired of cookies? He wants something off the grill.
Oh, he does.
And I bet they could get a really good grill to buy something for Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Make something for Santa Claus.
Think about one of those Traeger pellet grills.
Mm-hmm.
Set it and forget it kind of deal. Or they could smoke something in their big...
I was going to say they could smoke something, put it out all day and let it smoke.
In their big green egg, you know, or their...
smell it and come in for a landing.
That's true. Kamado Joe. Yeah, but barbecue meat on the barbecue grill might not attract the reindeer so much.
Well, just don't do venison.
Oh, yeah, maybe they do like ribs.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? But anyway, and I was talking to Bill. He said, look, he said, it's not too early to put your order in for, you know, your outdoor dining table or your chairs or anything like that. They've got a huge selection of wood and poly, right?
Mm-hmm.
But one thing we don't mention that often, and we should, are the swing sets.
Well, they not only have swing sets. Santa Claus can order swing sets for the kids that are getting them for Christmas, and they will take them all the way to Ocean City and set them up.
Delaware and Maryland.
Maryland, everything.
Free delivery within 60 miles?
Yep.
What's wrong with that?
Not a blasted thing.
Where is Backyard Billy's in Hearth America? Why, it's at exit, right off, exit 44 off Route 50, Kent Island. Well, Graysonville officially, but why not visit the website, backyardbillies.com, or the Hearth America Facebook page, then call 410-827-4500, 827-4500. That's Backyard Billy's, open 7 days a week, Route 50, exit 44. The backyard's going to look great. And if you like heat and cooking, Hearth America is the fireplace. We'll be right back after this.
WCBM, Baltimore.
Well, find a reason to step outside. It is a beautiful Saturday here in Baltimore. We're up to 62 degrees this afternoon. Well above average records this time of year, around 72. We won't be that warm, but certainly way above average here. 51 our low tonight and low 60s for Sunday. Rain showers catch up with us Monday with cooler numbers early next week. Highs in the 40s, lows in the 20s and 30s Monday night and Tuesday night. I'm Scott Laurie, more at the Weather Channel on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Madonna Seafood is known for having the best crabs and seafood in Harford County. Madonna Seafood is just a quick scenic trip from Baltimore up Delaney Valley Road. Madonna Seafood Carryout has delicious steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, subs, and a whole lot more. Call into the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway, Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Crabs for the holidays? No problem. Call 410-557-CRAB for tasty steamed crabs at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood. Year-round crabs, 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland, 410-557-CRAB. That's 2722. www.madonnaseafood.com. Madonna Seafood is open every day at 11 a.m. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery. Any battery you need. Battery warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the battery warehouse near you.
Hunter safety cards in the ashtray. Spent 223 shell case rolling in the floorboard. Her camouflage caps on the dash. Grunt call hanging from the rear view. Tanks drag rag and rubber mug boots and a bloodstained scent blocker shirt. With the tail cut out in the back. It sure smells a lot like dope in this Dixie cup. She knew just how to hurt me after we broke up. She shot my bow. She just rung the wind down and lit him up. In a field outside of town, squeezed all the rounds. He hit the ground. Bloody drag marks is all I found. She shot my bow.
Yeah, I feel fine. All right.
I think she's great.
Let's talk to Brian.
Morning, Brian.
Good morning, Alan and Robin.
Good morning.
I just passed Backyard Billy's. I heard your commercial.
Yeah.
On my way to Wine Mills. I called for the muzzleloader contest, but I have a deer biology question for you.
Go for it.
I shot probably the biggest buck I've ever gotten last week, and it looked like it was shedding its hoof.
Yes.
Have you ever seen that?
Yes. It means he's an EHD survivor.
Oh, yikes. Interesting. Okay. It was probably about a three-year-old deer.
Okay.
And had an unusually large rack. The hind end was probably not as big as it should have been.
Well, that would have been from the effects of EHD. They tend to lose a lot of weight for that. But, you know, thank God you got him, and hopefully he's passed on those genetics, because they can pass on the immunity or the survival antibodies or whatever it is that causes them to survive it. So that's a good thing. So, Brian, are you going to send me a picture?
Sure, I can do that.
All right.
The buck or the hooves or the buck or both?
Oh, the buck. The hooves are fine. I'd love to see that. I could run that in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly Magazine, and then if I get an email from you, it's ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. If I get an email from you, I'll talk to you about bucks, bears, stags, and having that deer measured up for the next record book.
I'm not sure it's going to be that big, but I'd be happy to send you emails and pictures.
Well, let's see it.
Very
Let's
good.
See it. You killed it with a firearm?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Good. Well, if it's your biggest buck, you know, it may measure, it may not. My biggest bucks, I don't think they're going to make the book. I know my deer I shot with firearms 27 years ago, my nice 8-point here on the fireplace, he's not going to make the book. He's 120 inches, 120 and a half. I've never had my muzzleloader buck measured. He might make the minimum 120. And the big one I shot last week, I don't know without brow tines if it's going to make the minimum or not. I mean, it's certainly got enough mass and enough tine length and everything else, but you know, that's not what matters. It's all about the whole experience, you know?
Yes, exactly.
You know, the record book is nice to get a little recognition for the animal and honor the hunter, or honor the animal and recognize the hunter. Is that what we do? We honor the animal, recognize mm-hmm. the hunter. That's what we do. But, I mean, it's nice to have a little bit of recognition and your name preserved in perpetuity. But you know what? That's not what it's all about, because I can tell you stories of all these deer in here. So, yes, indeed.
I appreciate that.
All right. But, no, I'd love to see a picture, Brian. And
okay,
yes, the
you.
Deer biology question is yes, that deer has survived EHD. What county was it?
Howard County.
Howard County. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gotcha. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
All right. Thanks,
take care. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Have a great day.
Let's talk to Steve. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, good morning. Definitely a good day to get out on the water today.
Yeah, beautiful day. We're in the woods, you know.
I'll be out there. And, I think that Stuart Pittman, he shut down all those restaurants 2 weeks before Christmas, and I think he told them they could cook free meals or something. He's probably, that's probably where he wants to use the deer meat. He's like,
no. Let me tell you something about Stuart Pittman. I've never met the man, but I've seen him on television. I've heard him interviewed. Okay. And I can tell you just a gut reaction to the guy. He's just an arrogant person who thinks that he's better than any of us. And he thinks that he can violate the laws of Maryland and send poachers after our deer herd that is owned by the citizens of Maryland, a publicly owned resource. He can break the law with impunity. He can go against the DNR, and I guess that gives him some kind of feeling of power. Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Stuart Pittman. You're a little man in my eyes. You're a very little man. What do you think about that, Steve?
Well, do you have your finger on the dump button?
Chris,
fair warning.
I'm ready.
Because Stuart Pittman, the dictator down there, I'm glad you're not in Baltimore County, but you definitely get the DA award for the year.
Yeah, I agree with you. So.
All right, well, thanks a lot, and everybody get out there. It's a beautiful day today.
All right, thank you, Steve. You do the same, buddy. Take care. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Let's talk to Mike. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, everybody. How you all doing?
We're doing great. How about you?
Good. I'll tell you right now, I'm just passing through Boston, North Carolina, and the fog is really thick.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yuck.
And, yeah, well, be careful out there.
Yeah. Well, I got actually two questions. One is about, I went to a lecture by a guy named Steve Sorcey. He writes a national or publication on deer hunting last year.
Okay.
And he was promoting pre-orbital scents. And then I bought it. I think it's called Smoky S'mores. I haven't had anything come in on it yet. It had almost a faint smell of acetone or nail polish. I don't know.
Well, that doesn't sound right.
No. And I'm not the only one. My senses have been most acute. But my wife said, yeah, it does smell like nail polish. So I don't know if you've heard any feedback on it.
Wow, no, I haven't. I mean, acetone, that doesn't sound like it's very attractive to deer to me. But, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this guy punched him out to be, excuse me, promoter of it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, preorbital scent is used, you know, for a couple of different reasons. They rub that on the branches. I mean, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago with Brian Eiler. We talked about the glands of the deer and so forth. And preorbital scent is like in your tear ducts, okay?
Right.
And they use that on, they rub their scent on branches to let other bucks know that they're there. And, you know, when we're in the rut and they're using a chewing branch or, you know, overhead branch where they licking branch is what they call it. They lick the branch over top the scrape and they rub their glandular secretions all over that to signify that they're there. Whether that tells bucks they're dominant or not, I don't know. But I don't know of any, I mean, you know, there used to be somebody marketed interdigital gland, and then there was somebody marketed a whole bunch of other glands. And I will tell you, I use scent a lot. I use mostly doe ester scent or doe and heat scent a lot. And I use different ones. If I'm in the woods, I'll buy like three different types. Okay. Because I don't want those deer to smell the same thing all the time. So I'll mix it up. And I've had one work this year that I know of. Actually two. And I think it was the same buck, but I'm not sure. The one that got by me in doe season, I think, was the one I killed last Friday. So, Friday week.
I've done the same thing. I've played with them. I've never had a lot of success with them.
Well, you know, the one, I tell this story. A couple of years ago, I took my dad's gun for a walk. He had a .284 Winchester lever action model 88. And he never shot a buck with it. And I'd taken it out after he passed away. I shot a doe with it and, you know, just to kind of you know, remember the hunts with him. But I took it out a few years ago, and it was a cold day, windy, cold, snow on the ground. And I thought, you know what, I forgot to bring string to put my scent tab out. So, well, what do? I could reach a branch on the tree next to the box stand. I got the branch, and I put the little scent tab on there, and it was in, I had a plastic bag with me, and I put it out on the edge of the blind, you know, kind of extended it out from the edge of the box blind, stuck the stick in there, basically, and let the scent go downwind. And I thought, you know, I've had this out for about 15 minutes. If there's any bucks in here and they continuously smell this, they might get suspicious. So I pulled it back in. I put it in a plastic bag. And I think what I did was I triggered the curiosity of the buck. He smelled it, and then he didn't smell it. And then he came looking. And I was able to take a real nice 8-point buck with that technique. Now, where I am now, I mean, I'd have to lower the string from the climber stand and then pull it back up. You know what I mean? And I've done that before. But I usually hang those tabs out, those little foam or felt pads with the deer scent on, and that I think it actually worked for me last week. So
yeah, they are curious. There's no doubt about that.
Very curious. Yep. So, and guys use all kinds of spray. They use, you know, the bombs, and they use the nose blocker and all that stuff. And it sometimes works and sometimes doesn't. And that's the way I look at it. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. So.
Okay, well, my second question is, I remember reading an article referring back to the previous caller's deer biology.
Yeah.
And it said in extreme cold, deer will actually become very sedentary and lower their body temperature.
Interesting. That I don't know anything about. It sounds possible, you know.
Yeah,
it sounds possible.
I think they did cut their metabolic rate down to conserve energy. I don't know.
Well, in cold weather, though, they probably do because their diet changes. You know, deer are ruminants. They have four stomachs like cows, okay, or four chambers stomachs like cows. So when they go from the different, there's six different stages, okay. So they go from browse to soft crops to hardwood, you know, to agriculture to nut crops, and then back to the browse again. And the browse part can't be all that nutritious because they lay the fat on with the acorns, with, you know, to prepare for breeding and winter and everything else. And then if there's a bad acorn crop, I think they switch to browse a little easier. And I think that's why corn comes into play. But corn isn't the be-all and end-all because corn can cause a disease called acidosis because their stomachs can't take it. They'll die with a stomach full of corn. Okay? So I think with that reduced nutrition in the wintertime, they have to be able to adapt to colder weather and things like that. I don't think the winters around here get that cold. Maybe Western Maryland. But
right.
You know, but I think in the northern climates, you know, you're going to lose a lot of deer because they'll also tend after the rut to get back together in a herd. And you've heard of deer yards where there's deep snow. They get together, you know, 50, 100 deer in a herd, and they walk one trail. There's food's covered up. So, yeah, they've got to do something in those very cold climates, no question.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, here's
something I'm going to tell you may or may not know. You know how a deer's hair is short in the summertime? And it's very dense. It's three times as dense as it is in the winter. In the wintertime, when they shed their summer coat, and you've seen those patchy deer, you know, with the winter coat coming in and the summer coat leaving, that winter coat is actually one-third as dense as the summer coat, but the hairs are hollow and longer, and it serves as insulation for them against the cold.
Sounds like a polar bear.
Kind of.
Yeah.
There you go. So.
Okay.
All right. Let me ask a question about polar bears since you brought it up. What color is a polar bear skin?
Their skin is white. Their hairs are translucent or transparent.
Their skin is black.
Really? I saw a show not too long ago saying that the whiteness is from their skin.
No. Their skin is actually black to absorb the heat.
Okay. Well, at least another thing. I was watching where people were looking for the Yeti, and they got some hairs out there.
Yeah.
Himalayas, and they looked at it, and the DNA was some kind of variation or distant relative of the polar bear, they think.
Wow. Okay. That's interesting. All right. We got to move along, buddy. I appreciate the questions.
Thank you.
Enjoy
the
discussion.
Have a great day.
You too.
Yes, sir. That was Mike, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. All right, let's talk to Peter. Good morning, Peter. How are you this morning?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Doing great.
I'm not a hunter, but I'm an animal lover, and I started through a friend of mine who moved to Delaware by the name of Mark that listened to your show.
He oh, yeah.
He kind of turned me on to you.
Yep.
And I registered to get the muzzle loader, but you today have had so many interesting things about this whole thing with the DNR and Anne Arundel County. I was working, helping somebody in an animal rescue place.
Right.
And I contacted, and this is probably maybe 15 years ago, somebody who was the head of that in Anne Arundel County, and they were nice people because they spent millions of dollars putting the food out to stop rabies with raccoons, and they were also interested in an idea that I had to set up these stands where you could put some salt licks for deer mm-hmm. so they could be treated against Lyme disease.
Well, they actually have
a couple of interesting things today about these deer diseases and things. You've had some very interesting people on the show, and I wanted to ask you, do you have a medical knowledge of a veterinarian medicine or something that because you know so much about this stuff?
No, I do not. No, but
just from let me
tell you this, Peter. There have set up stations in Howard County, near the Middle Patuxent wildlife area out there.
Okay.
And they actually have deer feeders, ground-based deer feeders, with posts that are treated with anti-tick disease or anti-tick
medicine. Yes, and that's an idea that I came up with like 20 years ago.
Okay. Well, somebody marketed it. Somebody took your idea.
But what you're talking about, this guy in Anne Arundel County who is asking for the bounties for deer meat and stuff like this, which is just out completely outrageous.
Yeah, he's offering a bounty out of COVID money.
Yeah, Jesus, it's awful.
Shutting down the restaurants, no help for them, but we're going to pay deer hunters $50 to kill deer if they donate it to the Anne Arundel County Food Bank.
Well,
what
you,
what
you know,
a complete
I
mess.
I mean, I can't tell you. It almost sounds like the guy's on LSD or something.
He's on something. So.
It's mean. It's not the way that animals should be hunted or anything else. It's terrible.
No, it's not. I mean, it takes. Look, if you're not hunting for enjoyment, if you're not hunting with conservation ethic in mind, if you're not hunting to harvest, you know, an animal for yourself to eat it or to share it with friends or even donate it to a food bank, okay? If you're killing an animal to get $50, you're killing it for the wrong reason, and you're in it for the wrong reason, and you should be ashamed of yourselves.
No doubt. I think the people should go to jail.
Well, I don't know if they should go to jail, but I should certainly think they would pay a fine.
Well, in Maine, if you ever watch the show, it's called North Whatever
yes.
Law.
Yep.
And that happens a lot up there, and I'm actually thinking, I live in North Baltimore City in Roland Park. I'm thinking about moving up to Maine. And
You're not alone.
I'm right there with you.
Out there, but people will just pull over at night with these spotlights.
Yep.
And if you've got, you know, you got 5 or 6 acres, and they'll just shoot deer at night, and you don't know what they're shooting. And you know, damn it, the bullet ricochets could go right to the window and kill you in the house.
Right. Exactly. What's behind the shot, or you know, is there livestock in the field? Are there cows and horses and things like that?
Anything like this.
Yeah.
Look, I'm so disgusted with Maryland. I don't know how many, it was a couple of months ago where some people went up into Moncton and they just used, it wasn't shotguns, but it was rifle ammunition.
Sure.
And they were shooting horses in somebody's yard.
Oh, geez. Okay.
So again,
and then the hunter gets blamed, right? Yeah.
No. It was no hunter that did this.
No, exactly.
It's just some crazy person because there's too many of them out there.
You're
I don't
right.
think hunters are crazy at all. Plus, I'm a fisherman and I enjoy your show.
Well, thank
and
you.
I just called basically because I enjoyed listening to it so much, and you guys are really good. And I will continually listen.
Thanks,
but
man.
I wanted to enter the contest for the muzzle loading.
You're in it, buddy. Thank you,
thank
Peter.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Have a great day.
Happy holidays.
Same to you, both of you. Thank you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You so much. Let's talk to Gary. Good morning, Gary.
Hello.
How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
I got a question on rockfish.
Okay.
Fishing in the bay.
I'll give it a shot.
I know the season's over, but can we catch and release and all that?
Can you catch and release? I wouldn't know why you couldn't catch and release. I don't know what the regulations are on that as far as the end of the season. I would imagine you probably could catch and release because the water temperature is cold enough to do that.
Okay. And when is the contest being drawn?
End of the last Saturday in December.
Okay, the 26th.
That would be the 26th, yes.
Great. All right, well, Merry Christmas to your crew.
Well, thank you, Gary. Appreciate
you
that.
You too. You have a wonderful holiday.
And the crew says Merry Christmas.
Yeah, the crew. I'm the crew. The crew says Merry Christmas.
There's Chris, too, right?
Right, there's Chris, too.
Yeah, Chris.
Chris is on the phone going nuts today.
Yeah, he's monitoring a lot of calls. So.
All right.
Thanks,
well,
Gary.
Thanks a lot.
Joe, let's talk to Joe. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Good morning. How are you, Alan and Miss Robin? How are you?
Doing great.
I wanted to let you know that, first off, I wanted to get in on that muzzleloader contest.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you what, last Halloween, I told a joke about ghosts, and it's haunted me to this day.
Oh, my gosh.
I like it.
And I had a friend of mine, the guy was asking about veterinarians.
Yeah.
I had a friend became a veterinarian, and she said the first day in her new practice, she said they brought in a cat, and she said, what seems to be the problem? And the cat said, meow. And she said, yes, but where?
Did you hear about the veterinarian and the taxidermist that opened the shop together?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. No matter what happened, you're going to get your pet back.
That's great.
That's horrible.
Thank you very much.
Oh, that's horrible.
Hear about the woman that brought the parakeet into the veterinarian?
It's going to be a long day.
She brought this parrot in and said to the vet, you got to help my bird. It's sick. And he looked at it and he said, your bird's dead. She said, no, it's just sick. He said, all right, hold on. So he opens this little door and the cat comes out, sniffs the bird, looks at the veterinarian. Veterinarian says, your bird's dead. She said, it can't be dead. Isn't there something else you can do? And he said, sure. And he opens another door, and a retriever comes out, sniffs the bird, looks at the vet. The vet goes, I'm sorry, ma'am. Your bird's dead. There's nothing else we can do. She said, well, okay, I'll take him back. I'm sorry. How much do I owe you? And he said, $150. She said, $150? He said, how come it's so much? All you did was look at a bird and tell me it was dead. Oh, no. He said, first of all, I examined the bird, so it's $25 for my exam. But then it's $50 for the CAT scan and $75 for the lab report.
You forgot the PET scan. There you go.
No, the PET scan. Yeah, okay, I forgot the PET scan.
You got it. You got it.
All right, you got it. Figure it out.
Thank you very much.
Modify it. Enjoy it.
Have a wonderful Christmas and a Happy New Year.
You do the same.
You
thanks.
Also.
All right. Hey, Robin.
Oh, they got you started on bad jokes.
Hey, Robin.
Yes, I'm here.
You know, we had that fireplace in the wall.
Yep.
Just a hole. I got a picture of it from December 2 years ago where it was just there, the day they put the gas line in, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I think it was the 18th, something like that. Anyway, but now it's a beautiful fireplace. We had that hole in the wall that did nothing but suck the heat out of the room, up the chimney. Well, we fixed that when we visited Hearth America at Backyard Billy's. Now, Hearth America at Backyard Billy's is the premier fireplace and hearth dealer in the region. Robin and I selected Backyard Billy's to supply our Enviro EX35 gas fireplace insert after disappointing visits to several other Delmarva locations. Hearth America did the installation, and they provided us with friendly, knowledgeable follow-up and service. And we both enjoy the convenience, the beauty, and the room-filling heat from our gas fireplace insert. Do we not?
Yes, we do.
And I have a question.
Yes, I can answer, maybe.
Why is the fire not glowing this morning?
I don't know. I have the temperature down.
Oh, you have the temperature down. Well, look how easy this is to light the fire.
It's not video. It's not television.
No. I know. But I can do a visual thing in their mind, okay? So you don't have to roll up newspapers or put any fire starters in there. You don't have to bring logs in and stack them up. You don't have to do any of that unless, you know, you want to. But no, all we do is press this little power button right here on the remote while we're sitting on the couch, okay? And look! What magically happens, the flames appear, the embers start to glow, and the heat starts flowing.
Hey, I thought of something.
What?
We could put a pile of wood up on the hearth, and people think we really work hard at it.
You could. Anyway, Hearth American Backyard Billy's carries both Enviro and Regency brands. And now's the perfect time for that new pellet gas electrical wood stove from Hearth America at Backyard Billy's. Give yourself a gift of fire for Christmas. Stop into the showroom, Route 50, Exit 44. Be ready for the cold weather, and it's been here. Now, visit BackyardBillys.com, the Hearth America Facebook page. Call 410-827-4500, 410-827-4500. Backyard Billy's, Hearth America, open 7 days a week, Route 50 at Exit 44. If it's heat you want, Hearth America at Backyard Billy's is the fireplace, and we'll be right back after this message.
Madonna Seafood is known for having the best crabs and seafood in Harford County. Madonna Seafood is just a quick scenic trip from Baltimore up Delaney Valley Road. Madonna Seafood Carryout has delicious steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, subs, and a whole lot more. Call into the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway, Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Crabs for the holidays? No problem. Call 410-557-CRAB for tasty steamed crabs at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, year-round crabs, 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland, 410-557-CRAB. That's 2722. www.madonnaseafood.com. Madonna Seafood is open every day at 11 a.m.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Way down south of the Mason-Dixon, there's a man who's really fixin' to match those taters in his bin with possum meat. And that ain't tin. Six tall, slim, slick sycamore saplings, possum up a tree. Somewhere up in one of them saplings, possum laughing at me. Hound dog baying, know what he's saying, possum on a limb. He done hit in one of them saplings, and I'll get even with him. Get a going, Pete, gotta run, get my gun, and beat it over yonder to the holler. Moon is shining bright on the treetops tonight, the possum ain't far, thari are thar. Six tall, slim, slick, sycamore saplings, possum on the loose. He's been stealing all of my chickens, now I'll cook his goose. Possum know he in a jam, he'll go good with candy yam. Doggone tootin', show as I'm shootin', possum fallin' for me. Six tall, slim, slick sycamore saplings, possum up a tree. Somewhere up in one of my saplings, possum's laughing at me. Hound dog baying, know what he's saying, possum on a limb. He done hit in one of them saplings, and I'll get even with him. Get a going, Pete, gotta run, get my gun, and beat it over yonder to the hollow. Moon is shining bright on the treetop tonight. The possum ain't far, there we
go. All right, let's talk to...
Hey, wait a minute. I got to say something real quick.
Okay.
It's so hard to get a word in with him.
I know.
People need to check out our Facebook page today. Sometime today it'll go up.
Bucks, Bears, Stags.
Bucks, Bears, Stags, because we're having one more special on the book before Christmas.
Right.
And it's a really good special, and the reason we're doing it is because we're so proud of this book, we want to get it in people's hands. Okay?
Exactly.
So There you go. That's Bucks, what I wanted to say.
Bucks-Bears-Sticks.com or Facebook, right?
Facebook. Well, the special will be on Facebook.
On Facebook. Okay. Let's talk to Steve. Good morning, Steve. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, Ellen. Good morning, Robin. How are you?
Doing well.
I would like to enter that muzzle loader contest, please.
You are in.
You got it.
Great. That sounded like the Les Brown and the Band of Renown.
No, that was Phil Harris.
Phil Harris?
Mm-hmm.
I could never get those right. I thought, like, Phil Harris at the same time, like Glenn Miller?
Nope. Phil Harris used to hunt with Bing Crosby up in Chestertown. Did you know that? Goose hunt.
No.
Yep. Wow. American, the old American Sportsman.
Is that a magazine?
No, that was a television show back when I was a kid.
What was it called?
I think it was called The American
Sportsman. Yeah,
Sports.
It was. The American Sportsman. I used
Kurt
to watch
Gowdy.
It.
Kurt Gowdy. Mm-hmm. Kurt Gowdy was
the Wide World of Sports?
Nope. The American Sportsman.
Man.
Robin will look for it, okay?
Pardon? I know it was because I watched it.
All right.
Watched it. Cool. Can I ask you a question?
Sure. Real quick. Yep.
It seemed like, you know, in ancient times, BP and TD, FF and log, pouch and flames, piles of wood, all these things said during my waiting. Pete and sycamore something, help me out. I was trying to write it in the dark. Sycamore saplings.
What? I don't know what you're talking about. I'm sorry. You've lost me.
Sycamore sapling and Slim Thick.
You'll have to go on YouTube and find the song. I'm sorry.
Yeah, just Google lyrics.
Lyrics.
Phil Harris.
Yeah, Phil Harris. Opossum lyrics.
Opossum.
Yeah, that's a possum up a tree. That's what he's talking about.
So opossums do they play dead?
They do.
They do.
And we're going to have to play dead, too, because we got to get out of here. Robin?
Everybody, get out, stay safe, stay healthy. Enjoy these holiday season that's coming up, and love your neighbors and friends and family.